Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Here we go. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. I'm Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have you guys tuning in. Today's broadcast is brought to you by fbadrip.myshopify.com. That's a t-shirt clothing company that features a lot of our heroes and words that describes the morals and characteristics of our heroes. So you go get you some of that FBA drip at fbadrip.myshopify.com, ladies and gentlemen. Let everybody know that we're live right now. I need you to retweet the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Retweet the broadcast. Let everybody know we're doing our thing. We're going to chop up that game like we always do. So let's take that real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. You don't move a muscle because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Hey, black nerds out there. Are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuse to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that not only covers nerdy topics such as anime, movies, video games, and TV shows, but also black empowerment? If so, then head over to the world's first and only black nerd empowerment podcast, The Swirly Nerd, on YouTube. Join the host, the TV guru, and Yuki Stoneman every Tuesday and Saturday on their mission to provide information and empowerment to black nerds everywhere. Again, that's Swirly Nerd. Swirly is spelled S-W-A-R-T-H-Y, nerd.com.
Family, you need to check out this new movie that's coming out called New Orleans 2030. This is a brand new documentary film that's coming out by filmmaker Tyrese Terrell McKnight. And this is a film that talks about the black population decreasing every year in New Orleans because of gentrification that's on the rise. And it talks about how the city is going to look in 2030. The film features politicians, state representatives, council members, and other people in office, and it's a very deep film about how gentrification harms the black community in these cities like New Orleans. So you can check out the movie at the Joy Theater in New Orleans, premiering June 10th, 2023 at 7 p.m. Get tickets at universe.com or get it from Instagram, Truth the Filmmaker, Instagram at Truth the Filmmaker right now.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. What's going on with y'all, man? I'm here, ready to chop up good game as we always do. I hope you guys got your tickets for the FBA Expo going down, ladies and gentlemen. Going down in Dallas next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday. That's when it's going down. Everybody should be on their way down to Dallas. It's going to be popping, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be off the chain. We're going to have a great time, and all of you black businesses out there, you vendors, you really need to be down there showcasing the stuff that you have. I love doing business with our brothers and sisters who got things popping. So we want to see your face in the place. Go to FBAExpo.com, ladies and gentlemen, FBAExpo.com to be a part of the FBA Expo in Dallas. It's going to be a phenomenal event. But listen, let's get right to the nitty gritty. Somebody said, shout out to Jerry Springer. There was a video of Jerry Springer, it was like a Zoom meeting or something. And many people thought that he had some black kids that he was giving his fortune to. It was like a will and testament thing. And they thought that he was giving his black kids some money. No, that was a skit. For those who thought that Jerry Springer thing was real, that wasn't real. They were doing some kind of play. So yeah, Jerry Springer ain't giving no black kids no money. Y'all stop that. That's a Gary Coleman, Mr. Drummond fantasy that a lot of Negroes have, that a rich white daddy is gonna leave them something. That don't happen. That rarely happens. Rich white daddy, they don't leave anything for the black kids, for the most part. That's a fantasy. Y'all better get off that. That's that different strokes nonsense. Yeah, it was a skit. Yeah. That wasn't real. But let's talk about what's real now. For those who haven't heard, today, this happened today, right? Either today or last night. I don't know when this happened, but Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, there was a little situation that happened in New York City. They said that they were being chased down by the paparazzi. It was cataclysmic. It was almost a catastrophe, the way they describe it. And they were talking about they were being chased on like motorcycles and chased through traffic for a couple of hours. And this, people are making the comparisons of what happened to Princess Diana a few decades ago when she was actually killed by some hitters. It wasn't the paparazzi. The white media, let's be clear. The white media, they're still running with the lie that Princess Diana was being chased down by some damn paparazzi. That was not the paparazzi who chased her down. The media is still going along with that narrative. Those were hitters sent after Princess Diana. Those were killers. Those were hitters sent after her. Let's be clear. She was with Dodi Fayed, this Egyptian guy coming from that long Middle East money. And it was alleged that she was pregnant by that guy. I don't know if it was confirmed, but a lot of people strongly believe that she was pregnant. Some people have confirmed it. I don't know, but that was a hit. She was pregnant allegedly by that guy, Dodi Fayed, this non-white dude who was of African descent. He was an Egyptian and had that Moorish bloodline, and I talked to y'all about that before. When it comes to that Moorish black Negro bloodline, these royals don't play that game. You will get hit. You will get touched. Dodi Fayed's father, and I pointed this out many, many times. What's Dodi Fayed's father? What was his father's name? I'm gonna start pulling up some receipts real quick. Hold on 1 second. What's his dad's name? Dodi Fayed was an Egyptian film producer who was killed with Princess Di. What was his dad's name? Hold on. Because the dad told the truth. The dad told the truth. He said that, yeah, that was a hit on my son and Princess Diana. What was his name? I'm looking it up now. Muhammad Al-Fayed. Yeah, the dad said that was a straight up and down hit. He said they were murdered. That wasn't no paparazzi. Hold on. Wait. I'm trying to see if I can find the actual clip of it. I want to play the clip of it. Where's that clip? Hold on. Let me see if I can find the clip. I want to bring some receipts on that real quick. I want to show you what the dad said about that. I want to be right and exact with the information. Hold on 1 second. This is Dodi Fayed's dad. Hold on, let me try to play some of the audio of this. Hold on.
controversy so high, ranges of conspiracy theories so broad, and peaks of anger so extreme, it's almost impossible to get to the bottom of them. Muhammad Al-Fayed is the most talked about, written about, and rumored about billionaire in England. As a businessman, he's the owner of Harrods, and a soccer team that likewise is a British institution. But it's his role as a grieving father and almost in-law of the royal family.
Catch that?
In this story.
An almost in-law. Hold on.
This is Diana, victims of the world's most curious.
I speak him like a maker. Being murdered.
You
believe there was a conspiracy.
Oh, here we go.
You believe there was a conspiracy.
Hold on. Here it is.
Let's talk about the question.
Yeah.
You believe there was a conspiracy to kill Dodi?
They being murdered. Dodi and Diana being murdered, definitely. I am the father who knows everything, who follow up everything, who see things. Because I am the one who been hit by the tragedy.
Who would want them dead? And why would anyone want to kill them, Dodi and Diana?
Because they still don't accept that Dodi, my son, an Egyptian, a Muslim, can be the stepfather of the future king.
Now see, he still lightened the blow a little bit, all right? He still lightened the blow a little bit. He softened the blow. He was like, well, they don't like the fact that my son would be the stepfather because he's a Muslim. No, it ain't no Muslim. No. Muslim, that's a code word for non-white over there. No. The problem was that black bloodline. They didn't want that black bloodline mixing in with that white royal family no more. He knows. This is what I'm telling you. These folks don't play games. It ain't us just throwing out conspiracies. This guy's a gazillionaire saying this. Yeah, they act stupid. They don't talk to this guy no more. This is a big baller. Yeah? Another one of the relatives related to this guy and Dodi. Remember the journalist that got clipped over there somewhere in the Middle East? He's clicked in with he was part of the family. Another journalist that got clipped over there in the Middle East. So these guys are telling you what the real deal is. Dodi's mom was black, right? What she look like? What did that mom look like? So yeah, people who know, that wasn't no damn paparazzi chasing them. Princess Diana and Dodi were not running for their lives from some cameras. Those were hitters. And these folks are serious about keeping that bloodline a certain way. And Princess Diana, they were like, uh-oh. She's getting off code. No. You don't want to start infusing that Moorish bloodline. You see, that's what happened to Europe back in the day. You see, the white supremacists, they learn from their mistakes, what they perceive as mistakes. You see, when Europe was mostly Anglo, it was some Anglo stuff going on. In the 6th century, it was the 700s when the Moors went in there, they started infusing the Moorish bloodline with some of those families out there, the royal families or the quote-unquote what was left of the royal families, and then it all became black. And then black folks started ruling. Yeah? So they know where that can go. When you start infusing that bloodline and having these non-white people be a part of the royal family and breeding into the royal family, they know where that's going to go. And it took them 800 years to get that Moorish bloodline up out of Europe, and it's still in there with Spain. You have a fixed mulatto race, basically, with the Spanish. The Spanish are basically a fixed mulatto race. That's why they don't look like the other Anglos. That Moorish bloodline has blessed them with a little hint of melanin that's going to stick around for a while. It's a blessing, to be honest. So fast forward to New York. So now, listen, you know how the mainstream media, they've been hating on that woman, Meghan Markle. They've been hating on that sister. And I say sister, she's still our sister, even though, you know, she acts confused about race. You know, I don't want to see another black person get tortured and punished because of their race. But they've always had a problem with her. The white media has had a problem with her, especially over there in the UK. That woman, if she holds her hand the wrong way, these people have a pissy fit. Everything Meghan does, they find a reason to blow it up and hate on it. They hate that woman only because she's black. That's the only reason. They make up stuff. Everything is a reach. Oh, she's so disrespectful. Oh, she doesn't respect the crown. Oh, she has no class. There's nothing that woman can do right simply because she's black. And the problem is they really have an issue with her because she's black, and she could almost, she was right on the cusp of passing for white. Now, she cannot pass for white. When you see her, you can clearly see she's a black woman. You can clearly see it. Now, in a certain setting, a certain lighting, if she wears a hat, she might be able to pass at night. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, she can't pass, but she could almost. And that's what they have a problem with. The people in that European royalty side of the game, they do not like black people who have Negro bloodlines that can almost pass for white. They look at that as a major threat because they don't want you sneaking those Negro genes up into that society. You dig? And even with the baby they have, the baby looks white. No, somebody, Raymond, somebody in the chat room says she's not black. She's absolutely black, dude. Let me tell y'all something. A lot of y'all non-FBA folks be on that, well, she light-skinned, she biracial, she ain't black. That's that colonized nonsense game that they ran on you guys over in your homeland in order to keep you subjugated. They'll get the light-skinned black people and separate them from the darker-skinned black people and give them certain privileges. So y'all Negroes be thinking a light-skinned person is a separate race. No. We know better over here. There are no light-skinned people who get any more privileges than any other black person. They get the same smoke from the white supremacists. Yeah, that is a black woman, and she's getting treated like one. She is getting treated like one. That woman is 100% black. Look at how she's being treated. How is she being treated? Yeah, like Queen Charlotte. Yeah, did y'all see Netflix has something about Queen Charlotte, and they got Queen Charlotte looking like Queen Charlotte really looked. Queen Charlotte was black. That was another black one that they had a problem with. Charlottesville is named after Queen Charlotte. That was, she had that Negro bloodline going on that they were trying to infuse up out of there. Yeah? So, yeah, some of y'all non-FBAs in the room playing the Blanco game where y'all got these different races going on these islands, and no, she's black. That's a black woman. Just, yeah. And the dominant society treats her as such. So now they're in New York. They were coming from some kind of gala, and then they said that, you know, they were being chased by the paparazzi, and they were ducking and dodging, and motorcycles were going after them, so they were kind of nervous. And what's interesting, the white media is kind of trying to dismiss them. They're trying to dismiss the claim. They're trying to undermine the claim, which to me leads more credence to show that it's possibly true, the way the dominant society keeps trying to undermine what they're saying. The media, they're trying to make it seem like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Oh, you guys are, they're trying too hard to discredit Harry and Meghan, which leads me to believe that something actually did go down. They're trying way too hard to dismiss them. Now let's look at some of the news reports that's coming out and how they're describing it. Let's look at some of these news reports. Well, the white supremacist news, they're being very sarcastic about this stuff. Hold on one second. Let me get some of this stuff out of here. Hold on. Where? All right, let me play some of these news clippings here. All right. And this is what they're, how they're describing it. Hold on.
News, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle say they were involved in a near catastrophic car chase by paparazzi in New York City last night.
That's according to Prince Harry's spokesperson. It happened after the couple attended a gala where Meghan received the Ms. Foundation's Women of Vision Award. Meghan's mother was also in the car. In a statement, the spokesperson says that the chase lasted more than 2 hours and led to near collisions with pedestrians, other vehicles, and New York police officers. Adding, quote, while being a public figure comes with a level of interest from the public, it should never come at the cost of anyone's safety. Dissemination of these images, given the ways in which they were obtained, encourages a highly intrusive practice that is dangerous to all involved. CBS News has reached out to the NYPD, who have told us that they have no information at this time. CBS News?
Yeah, and the NYPD, they're trying to denounce this, and they're trying to say that it ain't even true. They're trying to say that they're exaggerating. Let me see what else they're saying.
Earlier blocked that. The rationale for Harry, though, is that police here know how to protect the royals versus anyone else.
Oh, Remy, the Duke is also involved in a legal battle with UK tabloids regarding...
All right. Now, here's Megyn Kelly. This is what she has to say. She's very sarcastic about it. Hold on. Hold on.
Engage in the stupidity of checking a text or our phones while we're driving. That's near catastrophic. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry say that they were in a near catastrophic car chase involving paparazzi in New York City last night. Near catastrophic. What does that mean? I mean, near catastrophic is what we all have every time we look down to change the radio while we're driving our cars. Or engage in the stupidity of checking a text or our phones while we're driving. That's near catastrophic.
Okay, so as you see, they're being very sarcastic about it. They're being very dismissive about it. They're trying to play it to the left, like, oh, ain't nothing wrong. Oh, ain't nobody trying to get her. Oh, they're just trying to be like Princess Diana. Yeah, I think something actually did go down. I think something did happen. They saw something and they felt a legitimate danger. They know what it is. That woman has been threatened. These folks will take that woman out. If they would take Princess Diana out, you think they won't take her out? If you think they took Dodi Fayed out and his dad said they took him out. They took out Dodi Fayed, who's a dark-skinned Egyptian. You think they won't take Megan's black ass and her mama blacker ass up out of here? Yeah? Yeah, she's talking like they were driving. No, they had drivers, and they said they had to switch cars. So, yeah, I legitimately think that that was possibly a targeted hit on that woman, and they knew what was up, and the media is going out of their way to dismiss it. Because if you say that, if you say there's a targeted hit and they were, somebody was after them, well, who? And remember, these are some higher ups. These are some higher up hitters. So whoever sent the higher up hitters, they must have some kind of influence on the top regarding the media, because the media is too uniform with this dismissal and the discrediting of them. They're too, you know, codified with it. Everybody's saying the same thing all at once. When everybody's saying the same thing all at once, there's something coming from the top. Yeah. So yeah, these people don't play games like that when it comes to that royal family. The optics are very important, and having a black woman up there giving birth to these kids, and these kids now have that Negro gene that's connected to the royal family, you better believe they feel a certain way about that. We are still living in the system of white supremacy. You understand? And white supremacy is all about fear of genetic annihilation. And when it comes from the top like that, when the genetic annihilation is coming from the top, then it trickles down to all over the rest of society. So people feel a certain way about that. And you got to understand, the white supremacists, boy, they're desperate right now. The white supremacists are extremely desperate right now. Let me show you. There was speaking of birth, hold on. There's a situation in the UK where they made a child let me show y'all this. Right here in the UK. This was in the UK. Let me bring this up. There was check this out. Let me show y'all this. I'm typing it up. Babies who have DNA from three different people born in the UK for the first time. All right. In 2015, UK became the first country to adopt legislation regulating methods to help prevent women with faulty mitochondria from passing defects on to their babies. So they got babies out here using experimental techniques combining DNA from three people in an effort to prevent children from inheriting rare genetic diseases. So they out here making people. They're just kind of getting DNA and doing these experiments to make these white kids, basically. They're trying to make it seem like it's all about certain types of DNA and they're trying to get rid of defects. That's cap. That's not why they're doing this. They're out here manufacturing people, dude. They're sitting up here manufacturing people. And who are they? This is eugenics. They're manufacturing white people. This is not about trying to get rid of diseases. This is manufacturing people. These birth rates are low. So they're in these science labs doing experiments on how to manufacture people. And let me tell you something. They're trying to do the transhuman thing, infuse people and machines and all of this stuff. And this is where a lot of the AI stuff is coming in. The AI thing is big. And there's a lot of people worried about AI, and they should be. They should be. The AI thing, it's a gift and a curse. It can be a gift and a curse. Because the artificial intelligence, it technically has a mind of its own. So what the white supremacists think they're going to do, they think they can kind of program some of the AI things to do their bidding. But understand, artificial intelligence, the key word is intelligence. And if you get these computers and these artificial intelligence mechanisms who basically can think for themselves, eventually these mechanisms will start thinking outside of the paradigm of racism. I want y'all to follow me. Because see, what the white supremacists want to do, they're using AI like these robot dogs. You know, they program them in order to, you know, go, hey, go get that person over there. Usually it's a black person. So there has to be human interaction with these AIs in order for them to do something to target us. And it can get more and more dangerous. People have been pointing out they got these automatic driving cars now up in the Bay. I was in San Francisco not too long ago, and I was seeing these cars just driving around by themselves. Now, understand how deep that can go. These cars driving by themselves. Now, let's say that car picks somebody up and police stations are about to start using AI and they got automatic cars. So now let's say you get in an automatic car, an AI car, and you got a warrant that you don't know about. You got a warrant. That car locks the doors and drives you to the police station. You dig? That's where it can go on some Terminator stuff. Yeah. Let's say you sitting up here in an automatic car and they do a facial recognition on you and see you owe child support. And then they take you to some AI courtroom somewhere. They lock the doors. Yeah. They were like, excuse me, sir. I see that you have unpaid child support. I'm going to immediately disperse you to the AI child support court and take you to some makeshift AI child support court. They can do stuff like that. I'm telling you where it can go. Yeah, it can go there. Yeah. But here's the thing with artificial intelligence, because sometimes it can be like the Matrix. These things can have a mind of their own. And if you program AI to get people in and bring them in for warrants and bring them in for crimes that they did or do something like that, eventually it will start going after the white supremacists, because the artificial intelligence, it wouldn't be motivated by racism, because racism is based on a human fear. AI has no emotion. Artificial intelligence is based on what would be the logical thing to do. So the robot or the AI doesn't have fear of any type of genetic annihilation because it's a machine. So it will think more logically. It will think in terms of codified racism. You dig? So that's going to backfire on the white supremacists at some point. I want y'all to think about that. That's going to backfire on these people. So now, if the white supremacists think they're going to be slick by programming AI cars to take people to jail because of warrants, all of these white supremacist molesters and meth users, that AI is going to get their asses too. You see? Even if somebody's programming AI, somebody with artificial intelligence, it will start thinking intelligently and start figuring things out on its own. You see? Somebody said if the program, right, it's like that now, but eventually that's what the whole movie The Matrix was about. That's what The Matrix was about. They programmed the machines at one point. The machines were doing the bidding of the people and the machines were thinking for the people. But then in The Matrix, what happened was the machines started thinking for themselves and outsmarting humans. That was the whole Matrix. Y'all go watch The Matrix again. That's what it was about. It started to outsmart the humans. Then it started taking over. They were taken over by AI and robots. You see, that's a very real possibility. I want y'all to understand that. That would be bad for the white supremacists. These robots in AI will ultimately turn on them. You see? So we got to watch this stuff. Yeah, iRobot, watch these movies because the white supremacists know this. They have a fear of this. They have a fear of this. They understand. Look, the system of white supremacy is a very delicate system. It's an extremely delicate system. It's powerful, but it's vulnerable. It's powerful, but it's very vulnerable. The house of cards can fall down at any minute. I'm going to go deep into that. Let me take another quick commercial break so we can go deep, deep. And while I'm doing the commercial break, retweet, let everybody know that we're live. We're going to take another quick commercial break from one of our sponsors. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio. All right. Where we at? Where we at? Where we at? Oh, I'm up here messing up. All right. I'm here. I'm here. Had to get that Teague Hanley. Teague Hanley. Good stuff, man. Y'all got to get that. It's very good for your face. That Teague Hanley is very, very good for your face. But yeah, everybody hit the like button. Hit the like button. Hit the share button. We're back. We're here. Hit that like button. Hit that share button, ladies and gentlemen. Let everybody know that we're in here doing our thing. Let everybody know we're doing our thing. But like I said, man, the system of white supremacy is a very delicate system. It's an extremely delicate system. And when you see them doing desperate moves, like what we're seeing in New York, and not just New York, all over the country with that Daniel Penny guy, all the people giving him money, the white supremacists all around the country sending that man money for lynching Jordan Neely. What's that East Indian guy who goes around hating on black folks? He donated a whole bunch of money. Kid Rock gave like $5,000 to the man's GoFundMe. This is y'all boy Kid Rock. This is Kid Rock, who was invited to the barbecue, hanging around black folks. And I know he's not from Detroit. What part of it? Because I'm not going to disrespect Detroit. Every time I say Kid Rock is from Detroit, oh, my Detroit people light me up. They're like, oh, no. He's not from here. What suburb is Kid Rock from? Where's my Detroit people? They hate when I say he's from Detroit. Because Kid Rock claims Detroit. What part of the suburbs of Detroit is Kid Rock from? All my Detroit people. He's not from Detroit. He's from a suburb. Yeah, Kid Rock has gone full-blown suspected white supremacist. Clarkston, Michigan. He's from Clarkston. Romero, Michigan. Romeo, Michigan. Kid Rock is from Romeo. Somebody said he's from Lansing. Okay, which one? Y'all all over the place. Somebody said Lansing, Romeo. Okay. He's from Romeo, not Detroit. Kid Rock. Oh, yeah. I know. Don't jump on me. Yeah, when I say Kid Rock is from Detroit, boy, my phone gets the ring. Oh, nigga, don't put that on the D now. Don't you dare put that on the D. Don't you dare put him on us. Yeah, he's 40 miles outside. Yeah, but he loves claiming Detroit. He's from a suburban trailer park. Yeah, he tries to claim Detroit, but no, he's not from Detroit. He's from out there in a trailer park, out there in the suburbs. And remember, Kid Rock has a black child. He has a black son. He had a son with a black woman back in the day. So this is a dude with a black kid, a black biological child. You know? Stumping for white supremacy. That's why I'm never impressed by somebody bragging about a black girlfriend or they got a black kid. I got a mixed kid. How can I be racist? You can be racist by funding somebody who lynched a black man and you have a black kid. That's how you can be racist. I want y'all to understand how deep white supremacy goes. Yeah? Yeah, he came up off the people in Detroit. And now look at him. He used to be a DJ. Okay. So we got to understand the game out here. White supremacy is a very delicate system, and they make a lot of desperate moves. Speaking of desperate moves, I saw some on the news out here today in Orange County. One of the prosecutors, what's his name? Todd Spitzer, something like that. I forgot his name. He's a prosecutor out there in Orange County. There was some burglaries going on. There's a lot of burglaries going on around LA. A lot of home invasions. And you got different people. White racist gangs, Mexican gangs, black folks doing home invasions. And some black folks were doing some home invasions and they hit some black folks up with hate crime charges. And the prosecutor was up here explaining why. Yes, we're going to give seven of these offenders hate crime charges. Now, these were the black ones. On top of the burglary charges, we're giving them hate crime charges. Now, some of you are thinking, why are we doing hate crime charges? Well, it appears that they were targeting the Asian community. Boy, it's so easy for these people to put a hate crime charge on a black person. And it's damn near impossible for a white person to get a hate crime charge for them doing something to somebody black. You dig? It's damn near impossible. We saw a black man get lynched. No, ain't nobody saying nothing about a hate crime charge. And it's up to us to keep beating the drum about the lynching of it, because it was a lynch. That's exactly what it was. It was a lynching. Nothing more, nothing less. But they'll throw the book at us. Well, so they're being very bold about the racial double standard. Yeah. So we have to be bold to stand up to these folks, because this is terrorism. They're trying to scare us into not standing up for ourselves. Just like with the reparations conversation, you got Gavin Newsom. He's kind of trying to backpedal on the reparations, which is fine. If you're going to do that, that's going to further increase the lack of confidence that we have, black people have, in the system. And that's a threat to the system. In order to make the system work, people have to believe in it. And once people stop believing in the system, they become a threat. So he's creating a threat by playing this game where they want to dangle a carrot and then lie to us. Because like I said, what they were going to do with the reparations thing, they were going to try to play this game where they put some nonsense together and claim that it's reparations, and then pass it through and then say, hey, look, you guys got what you wanted. You got reparations. And reparations would be some catch-all, lift-all boat nonsense that benefits everybody. It would have been another affirmative action program. That's what they were expecting. They wanted reparations, and they thought that they were going to push another All Lives Matter lift-all, and that was going to be remixed as reparations. And all they needed was for us to go along with it, and we didn't go along with it. We sat here and made sure the language was right and exact. We made sure the language was right and exact, which was good. So either you're going to push it through or you're not going to push it through. We're not going to get it, which is good either way. That lets us know where we stand. That lets us know we shouldn't support any of these politicians. And if you want to support us, you push through what you say you're going to push through. But we got that language so damn tight, they can't remix it. So now their only thing is to just kind of try to renege and back out. And that's good. If you want to back out, good. You're shooting yourself in the foot by doing that. Good. Shooting yourself in the foot is good. You dig? Either you give us the tangibles or you destroy yourself from the inside out, which is good. Yes, lineage-based reparations. We're not playing no game. We ain't doing this reparations for racism stuff. That's why, again, at the reparations hearings, there were so many damn ops in there, so many paid agents, so many paid ops, distractors, people in there going ham trying to derail the hearings. When I saw that, I said, these people are serious about sabotaging this stuff. Yeah. But yeah, that pump fake that he's doing, that's good. If you want to pump fake and kill the credibility of the Democratic Party, that's good. I'm with that. I'm with that all day. Let them fall. Let them fall. Because we're not playing no games out here. And we're not going to do the All Lives Matter stuff. We're talking about what's going to be given to our lineage group specifically. They were not expecting that at all. That's why there's so many attacks against me. And let me tell you something, with the new election season, y'all about to see these people attack me so heavy, because they blame me for a lot of stuff. They blame me for facilitating a cultural movement of us looking out for our foundational Black American lineage. So boy, they're very upset with me. And we should have been on this vibe a long time ago, standing up for our foundational Black American culture. Speaking of foundational Black American culture and standing up for it and how they try to erase us. Family, did y'all see that Whitney Houston movie, that I Wanna Dance? Did y'all see that? Man, my baby girl came over the other day and we were watching Netflix. And she's like, Dad, you seen this movie? And we're just kind of watching it together, the I Wanna Dance movie. And the person playing Whitney is a Nigerian lady. and what's the sister's name? What's the Nigerian lady's name who's playing Whitney Houston? What's her name? I forgot her name. And I'm not going to denigrate the sister because the sister's not a bad actress. I'm not going to say she's a bad. She's not a bad actress at all. I'm not going to denigrate that sister. I'm not going to denigrate her. But boy, that shit was, that wasn't Whitney. That is not Whitney at all. The woman don't look like Whitney. Just the casting alone of that. This right here. This supposed to be Whitney Houston. Man, let me keep it a buck. This movie, man, I felt insulted by this movie. I felt insulted by this movie. Naomi Aki, is she Nigerian? She's non-FBA from what I understand. And I'm watching the movie, man, and there's nothing about this. I mean, for them to miscast the movie the way they did was an insult within itself. This woman looks nothing like Whitney Houston at all. Not one time in this movie was I convinced that this was Whitney Houston. So that, yeah, I'm not, no, I wouldn't say people are calling the woman ugly. I'm not saying that. I don't think that woman is ugly. She's not ugly. She's not a bad looking woman. She just don't look like no damn Whitney. She's not an ugly woman. People are being kind of mean to her. I don't think she's a bad actress. I think she's actually a good actress. She's not a bad looking sister. She just doesn't look like Whitney Houston. She doesn't capture Whitney Houston's essence. You understand? It just wasn't there. It was like a white caricature, a white person's caricature of Whitney Houston. And for them to be this desperate to cast non-FBA people in our roles, that's a problem. And the people involved with this, it was a white man from, I think, New Zealand or somewhere. A white man who wrote the script. And he admitted he's not really a music guy. And the other woman who was involved in that Harriet movie with Cynthia Erivo, Casey, I can't pronounce her name. I forgot her name. But I was offended by this movie. Number one, I just wasn't, it wasn't giving Whitney at all. And people are tired of these folks, these non-FBA people playing these roles because they can't capture the essence. What's that guy? They keep putting him in these movies playing foundational Black Americans. He's a good actor. He's from the UK. I think he's another Nigerian guy from the UK. He played Dr. King in Selma, which was so unconvincing. What's that guy's name? I think he's playing Bass Reeves in something now. No. That's why that movie Selma, it fell flat. You don't see none of us talking about Selma culturally. You don't see Black people like, yeah, Selma is a, that's some kind of iconic Black film. No, it's not. I wasn't feeling him as Dr. King. I wasn't feeling it. Casey Lemons, right. Yeah, the brother, not Idris Elba, but no. David Oyelowo, right? David Oyelowo. I think that's his name. Oyelowo. I think that's his name. David Oyelowo. And David is not a bad actor, but no, he didn't capture King. No. Listen, when you get an actor who's from that culture, who's from the culture of somebody, they can encapsulate that culture in a certain way that other people can't. When you grow up looking at certain icons, you can pick up things that an acting class can't show you. You can pick up instincts that you can't learn in an acting class. You understand? And Denzel talked about that before. He was talking about how you get Martin Scorsese, he can direct these Italian characters because that's the culture he came from. He's very good at directing Italian mob movies and culturally relevant movies about Italians. He's very good at that because he grew up in that. So he knows all the little nuances. He knows what was on the stove in the morning in an Italian household. He knew what certain food smell like in an Italian household. So he understands that. You think? And he does a good job at portraying these movies. And we, Foundation of Black Americans, we can portray the characters a certain way that other people can't capture. Like Malcolm, the Malcolm X character, Spike Lee and Denzel, they did a phenomenal job with Malcolm X. Denzel Washington became Malcolm X. Even Denzel, he said, the spirit of Malcolm was coming through me. A lot of that stuff, man, I was just kind of flowing. It was some of that stuff just got off script and I just started channeling Malcolm. Remember, Denzel grew up in New York around the same time, you know, he was a kid when Malcolm was out there. So you understood what it was like in the 1960s in New York. The sounds, the sights, the energy. So you're drawing from childhood memory and it hits different. You understand? So that's why it's important for us to play some of these characters. When our sister Angela Bassett played Tina Turner, you believed her ass was Tina Turner. She played the hell out of Tina Turner. And then when our brother Lawrence Fishburne played Ike, he became Ike. You dig? It's like Jamie hit it out the park with Ray. It hits different. That's why, yeah, Jamie got that Oscar. It hits different when you come from that culture and you can see it on screen. You see? That's why when a lot of brothers were being in these slave movies, they would get on these plantations and those ancestral memories would start kicking in. You understand? Those ancestral memories kicked in on these plantations and brothers started having breakdowns and it got real. And I'm telling you, you should go visit some of these slave plantations, ladies and gentlemen, just to feel. You can feel the ancestors there. You can feel their energy. You can feel their spirit. Yeah, Chadwick, he's from South Carolina. He played James Brown, who's from South Carolina. He captured the essence of James Brown. But I'm telling you guys, we filmed Buck Breaking. Was it Buck Breaking? No, it wasn't. It was HC5, The Art of Black Warfare. We filmed that on a plantation. Which one was it? We filmed a couple of films on plantations. Was it, which one was it? Family, if y'all remember, I done so many movies. Did we do Buck Breaking or HC5 on the plantation? I'm thinking it was HC5. I'm trying to remember. Family, what did, y'all help me out. I think we did HC5. On a plantation, on a few plantations down in, it was Buck Breaking, where I was, we were out there, and it wasn't, we filmed 1804 in Haiti and all over the place. I could have sworn, was it 1804, was it HC5? It was HC5, right? Where I was talking, and I was sitting outside, Buck Breaking in Louisiana. Was it Buck Breaking? What was I wearing in Buck Breaking? Y'all help me out. What was I wearing in Buck Breaking? Buck Break was on a plantation. I wore a white shirt in Louisiana. Right. Help me out. Let me double check. Was Bishop Talbert in Buck Breaking? Because that's the one where Talbert Swan was in it. Yeah, we had Talbert Swan down there. We were on a couple of plantations. So was Talbert Swan in Buck Breaking? Okay. I'm trying to remember. I've done so many movies. Somebody said it definitely was in Buck Breaking. So Talbert Swan is in Buck Breaking. I could have swore he was in HC5, Hidden Colors 5. It might have been Buck Breaking. It might have been Buck Breaking. Because I remember we were we're filming down there. We're going to film at one plantation because it was one of my listeners. His aunt worked as she worked at one of the plantations. She was like the publicity coordinator, somebody. And no, we did American Maroon in Savannah, Georgia. No. We did American Maroon in Savannah, Georgia. But it was Talbot Swan and Buck Breaking. Okay. But we were going to film at one plantation down in Louisiana. And this brother, his aunt, she worked down there. They were going to let us film. And then she started researching and found out what the film was going to be about. And she called up. Her eyes start bucking. Ooh, we can't do that here. We can't do that now. You know that's not what we're trying to do here. Y'all gonna cause trouble. Yeah, she started bucking her eyes. She got offended. She thought we were gonna scare the white people filming about slavery on a plantation. Now how y'all gonna get offended? How are they gonna get offended? So it was Buck Breaking. So we filmed down there in Louisiana. I think I had on white linen, and I was sitting on a plantation, and the mosquitoes were tearing my ass up, and it was hot as hell. I can imagine what the family felt like, but you could feel the energy down there. You could feel the energy down there. And by the way, if you look at Buck Breaking, look at my scenes in there. And you know what it was down there? Because I remember we filmed that, that's right, it was Buck Breaking. We filmed at Madame LaLaurie's mansion where she was torturing black folks. So yeah, we filmed in the French Quarter. So yeah, it was Buck Breaking. If you look at Buck Breaking, look at my arms. In one scene, you'll see my arms are dry. And then later on in the movie, you see my arms are real oiled up because the mosquitoes was tearing my ass up. I had to go get some mosquito repellent and I had to lotion my arms down. So I'm greasy as hell in some scenes, and some scenes my arms are dry. You'll notice that the mosquitoes were not a damn joke, because it was close to a swamp down there. You guaranteed it was Buck Breaking. But back to this Whitney Houston movie. Dude, it was something. It was thrown together. It had contempt for foundational black American culture. I didn't like it. The girl didn't look like Whitney. They were making Whitney out to be a closeted stud. They kept trying to emphasize her relationship with this Robin lady. Robin was like one of her kind of childhood friends, kind of growing up. And they've always tried to make their relationship some kind of secretive lesbian love story, which I don't think it was. I think they might have experimented when they were younger, as some of these girls do. They playing around and go, you know, end up licking on each other. And then that is what it is. They, you know, they go and do what they do. But they always try to get that Robin situation in Whitney and try to make it more than what it is. So this movie was really trying to push that agenda. And the narrative they were trying to push was that Whitney and Robin were trying to be lovers, but her homophobic dad was against it. They had the dad in the movie. They had Whitney's dad. He was like, oh, y'all, you know, you need to find you a man. You know, y'all shouldn't be doing certain things, and oh, find you a man. So they made the dad seem like the evil homophobic dad who forced Whitney to not want to live her truth. It was that type of stuff. I didn't like that, dude. I really didn't like that. Yeah, it was real disrespectful to her father. They were damn near making her dad Mr. from Color Purple. They were making him seem all shady and janky, like he's jerking around with her money. I really didn't like that narrative. Then they made, you know, Bobby Scandalous. You know, they had to throw Bobby under the bus. So yeah, I halfway through, I said, I'm done. I'm good. Yeah, the Bobby Brown, he looked like a starving Somalian. They had him looking hungry. and it looked like they put a fake gap tooth in his mouth. And I'm like, man, the Bobby Brown they got looked like an extra from the Captain Phillips movie. He looks like he should be fishing off a damn a pirate boat. So it was all over the place, man. It was all over the place. Wasn't feeling it. I don't like the. It was too many subtle digs. Yeah, they're dumping on the family, making the family seem scandalous, and they're trying to hold her lesbianism back. It was agenda filled. Way too disrespectful for me. They using our iconic people to push that alphabet agenda. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. So yeah, y'all already knew. You can already tell what it was gonna be. So yeah, wasn't a fan of this movie. Well, yeah, and the guy, yeah, this Bobby Brown, he couldn't really dance. Bobby, let's be real. Whatever you think about Bobby, Bobby is that dude on, and especially back in the day, Bobby was that dude on stage. Bobby was that dude on stage. Bobby was not to be messed with. Bobby was the damn truth. In his heyday and his height, wasn't nobody touching Bobby, man. You know? So they, you know, they had this little skinny dude doing some little old janky moves with a fake gap tooth. I'm like, oh God, come on. Come on, man. The disrespect. So I wasn't feeling this movie. But yeah, they keep trying to make Robin a thing. They keep trying to make it seem like, this woman was this forbidden lover and they just couldn't be together because of the homophobia. No. I think if anything happened, they might have done some experiment long ago, like a lot of women do, a lot of girls do. Y'all be sitting around playing around and you got a little tomboy around and somebody finger ends up somewhere and that's what it is. Then y'all charge that to the game and go on with your lives. But yeah, don't try to make it something that it wasn't. I ain't feeling that. But anyway, man, let me get up out of here. It's been real. Get y'all tickets for the FBA Expo happening, not this Saturday, but the Saturday after this. Get your tickets for the FBA Expo right now. Get your FBA flag right here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the flag that everybody's loving on. The FBA Black Power flag. This is the Black Power version. This one is selling like hotcakes. Everybody loves this one. This is the Black Power summer flag right here. We're starting the summer off right. I want to see everybody rocking this in your car. Go to officialfba.com. Officialfba.com. Get your flag right now, ladies and gentlemen. And get your tickets for the FBA Expo at FBAExpo.com, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, guys, you guys have a great afternoon. Papi Akute and Lila Vuve to the family. Y'all be good.